Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The Raising of Lazarus. And Jesus remained near the spot where John had baptized, and continued to teach the crowds and his disciples. And he spoke to them in parables.
There was a certain rich man who had a steward who was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear of thee? Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer." And the steward said within himself, "What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig, I am not able. To beg, I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." And he summoned each of his master's debtors, and said to the first, "How much dost thou owe my master?" And he said, 100 jars of oil." He said to him, "Take thy bond, and sit down at once, and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much dost thou owe?" He said, 100 cores of wheat." And he said, "Take thy bond, and write down 80.
"But, master, this was a false recording of the debt. Surely the rich man found it out, and punished the steward."
And the master commended the unjust steward, in that he had acted prudently.
"What? To be sure, the steward prepared for his own future, but at the expense of his master."
Jesus is not talking about the theft, but the wisdom worldly people have in preparing for the future.
"For the children of this world, in relation to their own generation, are more prudent than the children of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwelling."
"But the steward was a thief. He should have been punished."
"My friend, you don't understand."
"Oh, suppose you clear it up for me."
"Surely you do not think the master is commending thievery. All he is saying is that the children of light must benefit from the worldly shrewdness of the steward." and be as wise and clever in providing for their souls in the future as was this thief in providing for his worldly needs.
He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful in much. And he who is unjust in a very little thing is unjust also in much. Therefore, if in the case of the wicked mammon you have not proved faithful, who will entrust you to what is true? And if in the case of what belongs to another you have not proved faithful, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Now the Pharisees, who were fond of money, were listening to all these things, and they began to sneer at him.
What saying is this? Is it not written in the law that treasure is God's reward for those who obey his word, and poverty the reward of the disobedient? You go against the law, for the richest men hold are awarded to them by God for their justness.
You are they who declare yourself just in the sight of men.
Would God have blessed us with riches if we were unworthy?
But God knows your heart. For that which is exalted in the sight of men is an abomination before God.
And would you reverse the law by taking from the rich who have earned their reward and give to the poor who have also earned their reward?
Until John came, there were the law and the prophets. Since then, the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it.
You seem to make a distinction between what the law was before John came and after. Are you saying, then, that the law has changed?
Yet it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail.
Now, as Jesus was saying these things to the Pharisees and others near the crossing of the Jordan, a day's journey away at Bethany, a certain man was sick. Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha. Now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And in their hour of need, they besought him.
He sleeps, Martha.
Yes, Mary. But his breathing is heavy and irregular.
I saw the look on the doctor's face. Lazarus is dying.
Yes, Mary.
Oh, if Jesus were but here, he would reach out and save him as he has for so many.
Dare we send for him to come when they in Jerusalem hate him so?
Oh, Martha, he would not like it if our brother died and he not be told he was ill.
Then let's send for him at once. He's but a day's journey from here.
Our friends are traveling to where he is. I'll run and give the message.
Now it so happened that when the friends arrived at the place where Jesus was, he was talking to the crowds about a poor man also named Lazarus and a certain rich man.
There was a certain rich man who used to clothe himself in purple and fine linen, and who feasted every day in splendid fashion. And there was a certain poor man named Lazarus who lay at his gate covered with sores and longing to be filled with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. And it came to pass that the poor man died and was borne away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man also died and was buried in hell. And lifting up his eyes, being in torments, he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime has received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted, whereas thou art tormented. And besides all that, between us and you a great gulf is fixed, so that they who wish to pass over from this side to you cannot, and they cannot cross from your side to us.
He was right. The man got what he deserved.
Should have been more careful.
Then he said, Then, Father, I beseech thee to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they too come into this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hearken to them. But he answered, No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hearken to Moses and the prophets, they will not believe, even if someone rises from the dead.
He answered correctly.
Master, travelers from Bethany have just arrived with a message for you. The sisters Mary and Martha bade them say, Lord, behold, he whom you lovest is sick.
Lazarus sick?
Master, he's our friend.
This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that through it the Son of God may be glorified.
Then it's best you go not into Judea.
And saying this, Jesus again lifted up his voice and taught the people about him and his disciples. And they were eager for his words. For while they were listening to the words of everlasting life, at Bethany, Lazarus was dead and was being mourned.
Come, Mary. It's almost sundown.
I look to the road, hoping to see Jesus.
Our brother died soon after the message was sent.
I know. And yet I hope.
Come, Mary. They are taking Lazarus into the tomb. We have little time before the rock will seal the opening.
And at the crossing, Jesus continued to address the crowds. And 2 days had passed since the message from Bethany had reached him.
It is impossible that scandals should not come. But woe to him through whom they come.
Lord, increase our faith.
If you have faith, even like a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. But which of you is there, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, who will say to him on his return from the field, Come at once and recline at the table. But will he not say to him, Prepare my supper, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards thou thyself shalt eat and drink? Does he thank the servant for doing what he commanded him? I do not think so. Even so you also, when you have done everything that was commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done what it was our duty to do.
To what place do you next take us, Master?
Let us go again into Judea.
No, no, Master, you must not go.
Rabbi, just now the people are seeking to stone thee, and dost thou go there again?
Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is now in him. Lazarus, our friend, sleeps. But I go that I may wake him from sleep.
Lord, if he sleeps, he will be safe.
Lazarus is dead.
Dead? Master, then do not risk your life. There's nothing more to be done for him.
And I rejoice on your account that I was not there. That you may believe. But let us go to him.
Master, no. No, no. Listen to us. They'll stone you.
Come. Come, let us go that we may die with him.
And Jesus and his disciples left that place and went toward Bethany, which was some 15 stadia distance from Jerusalem. And many of the people had come out to Martha and Mary to comfort them on account of their brother.
He was a good man.
Yes, Lazarus was a good man.
Mary.
Mary. What is it, Martha?
Jesus is coming.
When? Where is
he? Soon. Now you remain here. I'll go meet him.
Wait, someone comes. It is Martha.
It's too late, Master. Lazarus is in his tomb 4 days. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever thou shalt ask of God, God will give to thee.
Thy brother shall rise.
I know that he will rise at the resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Dost thou believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. The Master is here and calls thee.
He is here?
Yes, yes. I told him it was too late and our brother is in his tomb.
And yet, Martha, there seems to be a gladness about you. Your eyes shine like stars on a frosty night.
Yes, because I've spoken with him.
What did he say?
He said to me, I am the resurrection and the life. Then he asked me if I believed it. And I said, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Now go to him, Mary, for he asks that you come.
Oh, yes, at once.
When, therefore, the people who were with her in the house and were comforting her saw Mary rise up quickly and go out, they said, she is going to the tomb to weep. And they followed her.
Master! Master!
She is running to Jesus. She falls at his feet and sobs.
Oh, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died.
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
See how he loved him. They were such good friends.
Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not die. Come. They're going to the tomb.
Take away the stone.
Lord, by this time he is already decayed, for he is dead 4 days.
Have I not told thee that if thou believe, thou shalt behold the glory of God?
Servants, remove the stone.
Father, I give thee thanks that thou hast heard me. Yet I knew that thou always hearest me. But because of the people who stand around, I spoke, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth.
Why does he mock the dead? Has he no feeling for those who mourn this man? Stop it! Stop it!
Please, please.
What was that?
I heard it. Within the tomb, listen. I'm frightened. What can it be?
Lazarus.
My brother lives.
Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus.
Unbind him and let him go.
Let us leave this place at once, Master, lest they come seeking thee.
A miracle.
Many, therefore, of those who had come to Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. And thereupon they gathered in council, for they were greatly concerned.
You've all heard the word from Bethany. Lazarus, dead 4 days in the tomb, has been raised by Jesus. And what are we doing? Well, this man is working many signs. He must do something, Caiaphas. If we let him alone as he is, all will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation.
We have had wonder workers before.
Never one like this man. Never one who raised a man from the tomb. The people are flocking to him, even out of Jerusalem. It is said those of Galilee once tried to make him king. They may do so again, and he may permit it. We know how well that would sit with Pilate and Rome. We must act, Caiaphas, before it is too late.
Now that you've had your say, listen to me. There is nothing to become disturbed about. Do you not know we've had our eyes on Jesus, even as we had on John the Baptist? And where is John now? Do you think we are so unmindful of the consequences that we have neglected to take precaution against Jesus or any of these wonder workers rising to become a king? You who say the Romans will destroy our nation, you know nothing at all. Nor do you reflect that it is expedient for us that one man die for the people instead of the whole nation perishing.
And how shall this one man of whom you speak die?
Now I can tell you that Pilate has been interested for some time in this man, and you may be sure his spies have reported to him. I have convinced him that we of the Sanhedrin are as anxious as he that no agitator arise to disturb the balance of understanding between us and Rome. You may be sure that at the time of our choosing, an expedient sacrifice will be offered up to Rome, that our nation not perish.
But Caiaphas, what is the proper time? How long must we wait?
The proper time is now.
that day forth, their plan was to put Jesus to death.
Lazarus is dead, and I rejoice on your account that I was not there, that you may believe.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor, attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need, please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.